Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. So many of us yesterday that I think there was close to 20 that came from Cary to go to the men's day down in South Carolina, and it was a wonderful day. Good lessons and good fellowship, and I think they had somewhere around 620-something. Brother David Farr, I think, was trying to kind of psych me out. He sat down beside me about 30 seconds before I got up there to speak, and he went, "You know there's over 600 people here today, don't you?" I don't know what that meant, whether, you know, you really need to step it up, or he said, "That's probably more than you have you speak to or normally." I said, "Yes, it is." But it was wonderful to have that many Christian men together, interested in studying God's Word for the course of a day. You know, we hear about the outsourcing of our businesses overseas in the news. It is spoken of in a very negative connotation within the political arena, but is just a reality of the business world most of the time. Outsourcing is defined as the contracting out of an internal business process to a third-party organization. Just like in the business world, there are Christians sometimes who outsource their spiritual responsibilities to other people and to other things. This outsourcing negatively affects their spiritual life in many ways because they are ultimately not doing what God would have them to do. They are seeking other ways and other people to accomplish the tasks that God has given to them. Over the next few Sundays, we'll consider three ways aspects of the Christian life that Christians sometimes outsource. Sometimes the church outsources to others when God has given us or them the responsibility. Today, I want us to consider that many parents have outsourced their responsibility of raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There are several ways in which this is done. I have known of parents who outsource their children's spiritual growth to their children. You know, well, they'll learn it. And that's never a good thing. They're children because they're for a reason. We're adults for a reason. We're parents for a reason. And contrary to television, and contrary to a lot of things, parents have experience and knowledge that children need in order to grow up healthy and strong. Parents also may leave the spiritual growth of their children to some other adult. They might leave it to a grandparent or some other responsible person that they're close to or know and expect them to guide their children in the ways of spiritual things. Some parents expect a Christian college to make up for their lack of effort in raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And Christian colleges simply cannot do that. That's not their purpose. While they wear the name Christian College in name, they are not going to, at that point, be able to overcome a lot of things that we neglect maybe at home. I would guess that the biggest one, and what most parents, that the way in which most parents outsource their responsibility is by handing their children over to a youth group and saying, "It's your responsibility. Raise my children. Make my children faithful." Now, I'm always amazed at how easy it is to come to conclusions without evidence. People believe, well, if there's just a youth group, that'll make our children strong. And that is a conclusion not based in evidence. When you look at the surveys that have been done, surveys of faithful Christians that grew up in the church from the time, you know, were born to parents that were Christians, grew up all their years in the Lord's church and remained faithful after they left home and went on into their adult life, they have been surveyed and asked, what was it about your growing up in the Lord's church that most lent itself to you being faithful? What was the thing that was done that was the most powerful thing in regards to your faith? And it was not youth groups. It was not social activities. It was not moving devotionals. It was not summer camps. Now, don't get me wrong. All those things are fine and good. I'm not anti-youth group. I did youth ministry for 17 years. I'm not anti-youth group. I'm not anti-social activities. I think back to my teenage years and some of the fun that me and my friends had, Christian friends had. I think those things are good and fine. I'm not anti-moving devotionals. I can still remember some devotionals. I use things in sermons that I heard in devotionals when I was 13 to 14 years old. So they certainly have an impact. I'm not anti-summer camp. I love summer camp. I loved going when I was a kid. In fact, they said when I was 12 years old, I could have disassembled the entire camp overnight. I love summer camp. Not against those things, but I want us to understand that we don't put those things on a higher pedestal than they deserve. They are not the things that will ultimately be the determining factor of whether our children are faithful. Those are tools. Those are tools that we as parents need to use. The answer to the question, by far and away, nothing even close to it, the answer to the question of what was the thing that made you faithful or that led you being the most faithful was evangelistic work, mission trips, doing the work of the Lord. That was it. That was the thing that said that drove them the most. See, I went to a lot of devotionals and I went to a lot of summer camps, but I can still look back and I see the campaign that I did when I was 14 years old and I set up 30 Bible studies in 1 week. I look at that and I see that is that thing that really kicked me into a completely different mode in my Christian life as a teenager. It gave me a love for the gospel. And I also think about the hours upon hours I talked about the Bible with my father. See, I attended adult Bible class from the time I was 12 years old. Dad's Bible class. And we drove home for 30 minutes and we talked about Bible class that night all the way back home. We talked about it a lot of times all the way there. I see those things as the things that made the difference in my life. Because see, the best and most effective means to seeing our children become and remain faithful Christians begins and ends in our homes. Begins and ends with us as Christian parents. Parents are the most influential people in our children's life. You know, that's why you leave your shoes out and your little child will go get in them, right? Because they're wanting to walk in your shoes. They're wanting to follow your path. And our Lord even said that we do the things of our Father. That if we say someone's our Father, we'll be a lot like our Father. Because we follow in the path, most oftentimes, of our parents. That is why Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Your translation may say in the admonition of the Lord. I want to suggest three ways that parents can fulfill their responsibility. And instead of outsourcing to people who cannot build real faith in their children's lives, the three ways in which they can build faith in their children's lives. I promise you, no one cares about your children more than you do, save God. And if you won't do it, who will? First, parents should live the life of faithful and dedicated Christians. At home, your children see the you that most people at work or here at church never see. You can fool everyone here and people you associate with every week, but you cannot fool your children because they see you at home. When all the facades come down, when you shut down and you are who you are and you're not hiding anything, and you shouldn't be hiding anything anyway. Live a life that don't need hiding. But they see you in your most relaxed and your most unguarded moments, I guess is a good way to put it. You can't fool them. That's why it's so important that your Christian life be whole. Let it be everything about you. So that even when those moments they see a Christian, they see Jesus Christ. Our children must see a faithful Christian life in the home. Our children need to see a father that is leading his family spiritually, a mother who is supporting him and showing the example of a Christian woman, teaching her daughters to be good Christian women and Christian wives, fathers teaching their sons to be Christian leaders. This enables parents to have credibility when they try to build faith in their children. How in the world can I tell my child you need to be a Christian when they know and they see that I'm not being one myself? How can I ever hope to say anything to them and have credibility if I am not the very thing that I call? I guarantee you today that if I was preaching things and I wasn't living them and y'all knew about it, y'all wouldn't want me in the pulpit very long, would you? Why? Because, Nathan, you're teaching things you don't actually live. You're not doing and teaching as Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 did. And you would say, I was a hypocrite, right? Well, children can look at us, and if we're not living the Christian life as parents, they recognize a hypocrite in a heartbeat. And so the first thing we have to do is we have to sweep off our own porch, right? We have to be the parents that God desires for us to be. And to be that, we have to be the Christian that God desires for us to be. Our children need to see in their parents that are praying. Believe in prayer. Trust in prayer. They need to see parents that are studying their Bible. You know, it's like the old woman that the preacher came to visit her, and she sat down with the preacher, and she said to her daughter, she said, oh, honey, go get the book that Mama loves so much. And she brought her the TV guide. Right? David Sane told a story about a lady he knew who, when they put her in the casket, the family said, it just doesn't look right. And the funeral home director said, what's wrong? They said, she doesn't have a Bible in her hand. And she did all through her life. So they put it there because that's where it had always been. Your children think about you, they think about the Bible. They see a Bible in your hand sometime other than Sunday or Wednesday. They need to see parents that are living righteously. They need to see parents that are living true without hypocrisy. In the well-known text concerning parents in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read that God told the Israelites that they should live righteously so that their children would live righteously. In verses 1 and 2, it says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going to possess it. So, you do them. Why? So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord and your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. You hear what Moses is saying? God wants you to do His commandments. Why? So that your children and your grandchildren will live and obey God's commandments when they go into the land. But they won't do it if you don't do it. They will walk your path. And unfortunately, the children of Israel didn't do it. And their children walked in the same footsteps that their parents did, of iniquity and sin. And they were punished over and over and over by God because of it. So we need to be Christian parents. True Christians. Not just wearing the name, not just saying the name, not just saying, yeah, I go to church, but I am a Christian. It is my life. It's who I am. It's all of who I am. And at the end of the day, if I'm anything, I'm a child of God. Second, parents should study their Bibles and teach their children the truth of God's eternal will. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, same chapter, verse 7, continues telling us that these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now see, that's point number one. These words shall be in your heart. See, if you're a Christian at heart, that's God's word's going to be there. So Moses even understood that. He understood that first it had to be in you, or you'll never teach it to your children. Have it in your heart, and then you teach about it. And that is the only way, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, to build faith in your children's heart is to teach them. There is no other way. You have to teach them the Bible. That is the only source for faith. That is the only place that it comes from. Nowhere else. I know we think that it comes from just funny feelings and ooh and ah. It doesn't. It comes from God's Word, and that's from God's mouth Himself. Nothing else will do, and all else will fail. God told the Israelites there in Deuteronomy, teach them diligently. Put all of your heart into it. Put all of your time into it. And look at the amount of time that He told them to do it. Teach them when you're sitting around the house. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're reading a scripture every moment that you're sitting around the house. But let me tell you what, if the TV's on, you're going to have some teaching opportunities. If you're just watching commercials, there will be teaching opportunities. I promise you. Things will happen in your children's day are teaching opportunities. You're sitting around, take those opportunities to mold your children. He says not only to teach them diligently, not only to teach them when you're sitting around the house, but teach them when you're walking around. So when you're sitting, teach them. When you're walking, teach them. So that's when you're up, when you're down, right? He says teach them at bedtime, before you lay down. Teach them at breakfast when you rise up, right? Well, he's not leaving much of the day, is he? I kind of get the idea that God here is saying, I want you teaching your children about me all the time, right? Not just in a daily devotional, and that's the only Bible we're going to have. But I'm going to teach my children Christian principles and how to live every opportunity that comes about. That's what God wanted. It's what He wanted from the Israelites. It's what He wants from us. If parents are living the Christian life, as we discussed in the first point, they will have plenty of opportunities to teach and make application of the truth to their children in their daily activities. You know what? It will not be, I have to. Oh, great. We're walking. I have to say something here. It's not going to be oversitting. It's not going to be that. If you're the Christian God wants, you're going to want to tell your children about it, just like you're going to want to tell the lost about it, right? And the one person, you know, it's probably the people that you most want to see saved is your children. Let me tell you what, if you're not concerned about your children being saved, I do not believe for one moment you'll ever reach out to anybody else that's lost. My goodness, do we love people more than our children? So we need to do that. Give it our all. Thirdly, parents should love God and His church and be dedicated to its work with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Maybe we don't realize, because you know we read that when they're rising up, when they're sitting down, when you're laying down, all that. You know, that's the text we tend to read, right? That's the one. You know, we talk about before that we read text, we don't read anything around it. You know what's just before that? The Lord our God is one. You will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. What did Jesus call that? He called it the greatest commandment. That's what precedes what parents should do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Only people that love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength will be dedicated to God. Only people that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength will be dedicated to the works that He desires to be done in His church. Such parents will be a part of the church. They will not be here to be entertained. They will not be here to simply be with friends. they will be here to truly serve, doing those things that are not always fun and not always in our comfort zones. We will do the tough things. Parents who love God in this way are emotionally invested in God's church. Not just a certain group of people or an activity that they enjoy, but the whole church and all of its work. Because we have people in the Lord's church that they go to this one activity that they like, this one group that they like to hang out with, and they don't do anything else. And it's about them. Not about a love of God's work. It's about the work that they want to love. See, that's loving God with all of your heart. I give it all of my emotion to it. They give their life. Parents who love God in this way give their life to the work of the Lord in His church. And that's loving God with all your soul. Giving literally your life to it. That it is your life effort. Your life effort's not to get rich. Your life effort's not to get famous. Your life effort's not to be popular. Your life effort is to please God. That's loving Him with your soul. Parents who love God in this way are interested in the times that church uses to study God's will. They attend Bible class and prepare for Bible class by studying their Bibles. They make certain that their children are doing their Bible class studying with greater diligence than they give to making sure they have their secular schoolwork done. Because secular schoolwork will not get your child to heaven. And if you think that's important, and it is important for their secular aspect of their life, but let me tell you what, if you think that's important, you better be given just as much and more to what they do in regards to God's Word. And yet I've gotten in trouble because I expected children to fill out a worksheet once a week. Oh, that's too much. My children have school. Yes, they do. And they may be a doctor one day. They may be a next Einstein. But will they get to heaven? Let me tell you what, if your child has every degree offered out there and they don't make it to heaven, they failed. They failed in the most important test this life has. I'm not saying don't stress those things, you should. But don't stress them at the expense of God. Because I know that we make sure our children get their homework done, but do we make sure they get their Bible work done? See, because that's loving God with all your mind. I'm giving my mind, my mental aspect of my life to God. And I want my children to do the same. I want them to understand the importance of it. How much they need to know God's Word. And it's important. It's something that they need to take their time out of their life and give to. Parents who love God in this way will bring their talents to the church and its work. You will give your strength. You will give your talents, and you will teach your children to do the same. And that's loving God with all your strength. What He's given to you, you give to Him. You know, parents should love God like this and teach by example and word their children to love God in this manner also. We say God is important. May we live it. We say God is number one in our lives. May we show it in our decisions and our choices. May parents instill those things in their children. Then and only then will we show those statements to be substantive in our lives and more than simple words that come out of our mouths. But they are a statement of heart, a statement of being. You cannot love God a little. It doesn't work like that. God wants you to love Him with all you have and all you are. Because you know what? That's how He loves you. He gave Jesus Christ, He gave everything. He gave Himself that you might be saved. Is it too much for Him to ask you to love Him in the same way? And to teach your children that love? He demands all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That is the greatest commandment. There are no church programs that can effectively accomplish the task of raising your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Programs are tools for you to use. 17 years of youth ministry work, my efforts were of little use if parents at home would do nothing to help, would do nothing on their side of the equation. See, I only saw their children a couple of hours a week, a couple, 3 hours, 4 hours, maybe a week, depending on if we had a retreat or something, might be a little more. I only saw them just a few hours. They see them the vast majority of that week. And if they won't do anything, how can I compete with that? No one can. That's why the responsibility lies upon the parent. As a youth minister, I was a tool in their efforts. They could assist them in their responsibilities if they were already serious about their responsibilities. I was not those children's parent. Never tried to be, because I can't be. It's not possible for me to be their parent. I am there to help them. Raising those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord was not my responsibility. No member here can be, nor should they try to be, the parents of someone else's children. That is not your job. That's their job, and they need to do it. Now, I will tell you this. I was at a congregation, and we had a wonderful youth group. I had kids that were so evangelistic, and they still are to this very day, and that's what I love. They still call me and ask me Bible questions that they're dealing with at church. They're now adults. They have their own families. I love getting those calls. And in that youth group, we had a congregation of 110. We had 25 teenagers in a congregation of 110. Almost 25% of the congregation. Why? Because about 10 or 11 of those kids, their parents never darkened the door of the Lord's church. They were converted through the efforts of the other teens. And they were faithful. Now, we had to make some extra efforts there, as there were not parents that were going to raise those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Those are special situations that we have to deal with, granted. But I'm talking this morning to Christian parents and your responsibilities to your children. Do not outsource them to other people that cannot do the job that only you can do. I want you to note one more thing as well. Children are to be raised, and that word there, in the discipline of the Lord. Same word we get, root word we get disciple from. But it is the Greek word that about molding into proper behavior. And this means that they will not always be happy about what we require them to do. Yet we must do it. They may not be happy about what we're telling them that they have to do, but we're molding them, and sometimes when you mold something, it resists, doesn't it? And you have to keep molding it, keep working it. In fact, God said to the Hebrews that you're not my child if you don't receive my chastisement, right? There's going to be times we're not going to like. What people tell us as adults and young people, what your parents tell you sometimes that you don't need to do, you're not going to like it because you want to do it. But you're still called to do it. You know, when it comes to church, when we think that we should be given everything that we want, or they should be given everything they want so as to keep them happy, and such actions will not mold them into the character of Jesus Christ. And don't jump back there and go, well, I'm not supposed to provoke my child to anger. That's not what that's talking about. Not provoking your child to anger is not Dr. Spock's theories of not making your children ever upset. Let's not contort that into something else. Christianity is filled with moments where my will clashes with God's, and those are not happy moments. And let me tell you, it wasn't a happy moment for my Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane when His will clashed with the Father's, was it? But it is a time when we find devotion and when we learn where our real allegiances lie. To say, not my will, but yours be done. So we teach our children that God's will is first. Deuteronomy 6 and 3 says, O Israel. And folks, today we are the spiritual Israel. Things being said, and don't say, oh, Nathan says that's in that Old Testament. No. These principles are true because they're God's principles. He says, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. God will bless you as parents. He will bless your children. if you will listen to Him and you will do it, He'll bless you. And your children will be blessed and you will be blessed by them. If not, as the verse says, do not expect God's blessings and do not expect that your children will come to God and become genuine Christians that are dedicated to Him and to His church. We have to give our all. Folks, there is a lot riding on this. You know, you cannot outsource this and find success. If you outsource this, you will only find sorrow and difficulty. Love God today. Give God your all today. And it will have a generational impact. There are people that have taken this responsibility serious, and it has spawned generation after generation of people that took it seriously. Generation after generation of faithful Christians. And all those grandchildren, and all, I mean, you literally sit at the top of an ever-expanding pyramid of people. And what you do with your child has a great impact on what that lineage will be and do. It is serious and it is eternal. Take it seriously today. This morning, if you are not a child of God, you know, when we think about being parents, we want to see a great parent. We want to see a great father. We just look to God, don't we? I want to be like Him. I hope you do too. I hope we all do. I hope that's our endeavor, is to emulate God and Jesus Christ in every way that we can. To be the Father that loves like He does. Father that cares. Father that's willing to chastise at times. But God, your Father, loved you so much that while we were out in the lost lands of sin, in the pig pen of sin, He still looked for us and made a way for us to come home by sending Jesus Christ to die, that we might be redeemed, that we might be embraced by Him as a son and as a daughter. If you haven't received that embrace by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray that you'll make the decision to do so today. God has already made the way. His love has already made it possible for you. All He wants for you to do is to come and to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You can do that this morning. Believing in Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins. Discernment, saying, I'm not going to do those things again that have taken me away from God. Confessing Jesus as the Son of God and be buried in baptism, having those sins washed away, to rise, to walk a life dedicated to God. And dedicated to giving that to your children, to your grandchildren, and to everyone you come into contact with. Do that today. We hope and pray that you do. If you're a child of God, if you're a parent, maybe you've outsourced the raising of your children and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you realize you can't do that. That doesn't work. Never has, never will. Change today. Repent for having walked away from God's responsibility given to you when He blessed you with children, and begin to live for Him. Begin to share that life with your children. Love Him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're a child of God, maybe you strayed away in other ways. Know that the Father wants you to come back. Just simply confess those sins, repent of those sins, and know that He is faithful and just to forgive you. There's a way in which we can help you spiritually today to come back to the Father. We all pray that you will let us, as together we stand and as we sing.